Good evening. As I have said each night this week, it is a joy to see every one of you that is here tonight. It's been a good week for me, especially good for me. Anytime that I have to put my nose to the grindstone, so to speak, and put in some deeper study, it's good. It's healthy. So it's been good for me, and I appreciate the opportunity that the congregation here at Ephesus has afforded me to have a reason to do that. So I appreciate it. We've been looking at different aspects of our walk of faith this week, and tonight we're going to look at a little different aspect of our walk of faith, and that is the idea of hope. I'll go ahead and tell you that what you normally hear used today in English, when we use that word English in English, hope, we don't mean what the Bible means. It's not the same thing. I hope it don't rain Saturday so that I can, you know, do some work outside around the house. I hadn't gotten to do much of it in the last 2 weeks, so I hope it don't rain. It's just a blind hope. I hope there's still money left in the Social Security fund by the time I'm old enough to start drawing from it. And I'm getting dangerously close, but I'm not close enough yet. So I hope there's still funds left in it. I have no trust that there will be. But that's how the English word trust is used. On the flip side, One of the awfulest, most awful places for us to, as humans, to be is to be without hope. And a lack of hope in the world today, I would dare say, throws fuel on the fire that is going on for the godless masses. It leads to terrible things. It leads to people who are just totally despondent. They have no reason to hope because they have chosen to convince themselves that there is no God, although nature itself screams that there is. So that's an awful, dreaded place to be. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What he's saying there is if all we have to hope for is what is in this life and not for a heavenly home, not for an eternity to be with Christ, if all we have is this, Paul said we are of all men most miserable. So he says that's a terrible place to be. So I want to give some credit right up at the front of this. There are two brothers that are here tonight that I'm going to use as citations and references for this lesson. One of them is Brother Mike Kirby, and one of them is Brother Tim Eldridge. They both submitted articles to The Harvester. So if you don't get online at theharvesteronline.com and listen at sermons and read the articles that are there, you're missing a great resource because they're there for you. There were two other articles as well. So there are four articles related to hope, specifically focused on hope on the Harvester right now. One of them was written by my son-in-law and Debbie's son, Ben McManus. So I referenced his as well. And another fellow who I never met, his name was Albert L. Davis. He was from Loosedale, Mississippi, and it's my understanding that he is now deceased. But all four of those articles are there for you, and they're really good reference points to go back and to study after and read. And I'll point out where I borrowed ideas from each of those four different articles when I get to those. And the first one I'll credit with Brother Tim. Tim made mention earlier in the week that there are actually two root Greek words, and I say root Greek words because if you go and you pull out your Strong's Concordance, you'll find more than one word, more than two words that are translated hope in the New Testament. In the King James Version of the New Testament, you'll find more than two words, but they are both, they derive from two root words. The first one is elpis. If I say that right, is the English spelling is E-L-P-I-S, but the pronunciation guide gave me elpis. It is not just a desire for something, but it is a confident expectation to receive it. It is a trust-filled looking forward to something. When God makes us a promise and we look forward to receiving that promise, that's the kind of hope that we're talking about. That's what elpis is. And it's also the primary word that is translated across all the epistles as hope. So it's the most common of the two. I'll give you some examples of that. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's one use of it. Another one. Romans 8 and 24, and we'll come back to this passage later on in the discussion. As a matter of fact, keep your finger there. We'll come back to it real quick when we talk about the next word. But Romans 8 and 24, the first part of that says, "For we are saved by hope." So this first word, elpis, is a noun. It is a noun that points to expectation, a trusting expectation, a reasonable expectation. It's reasonable for us to expect God to keep his promises. That's the kind of hope that I'm talking about first. Elpizo is the second word, Greek word, and it's a verb. And it's also related to trust, but it's, since it's a verb, it's an action, right? So it's how it demonstrates an active application of our faith based on our expectation for God's promises. Romans 8 and 25, I told you to keep your finger there in Romans 8. 8 and 25 says, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." If you go read Brother Tim's article, you'll read where he makes a strong connection between hope and patience. So that's in that article for you to go read. But I say it's an action, and it's our faith in action because it's demonstrated in how we live our life in patient endurance. I see several of you who I know don't feel good tonight, but you're here. And you're being very patient to endure what I'm throwing at you, so I appreciate that. But more than that, you're being very patient waiting on God's providence. You're being very patient to wait on him to keep his promise. But we all recognize that his promises are not going to be fulfilled in the way that we're looking for them on this side of the grave. Paul said that he looked forward to leaving this life and being in the next life with Christ, because to be with Christ was gain. So that's the patience that I'm talking about. So the next thing I'm going to let you know that I stole from somebody, or I borrowed it from Brother Mike. So if you go back and read his article, he broke his article down into four pieces. And I liked the headings of each one of those four pieces, and I borrowed the same headings. So I liked them, and I borrowed them. He picked out a pattern of hope that had four P pieces to it. The first one he called the plight of man without hope. We said early on, man, that's a horrible, horrible place to be. You look out into the world today and you see people who have caused themselves some problems because they have allowed themselves to be addicted to some really powerful drugs. And while they're in that situation, there's not a lot of hope. We've all seen them. We probably know somebody right now that's walking that path, or we know somebody who knows somebody that's walking that path. I mean, it's bad. But there's no hope in that life. There's no hope in that lifestyle. Well, man, I mean, we can say that too. Paul said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we are in our sinful state, when we are dead spiritually, as we've talked about a couple times this week, when we are dead spiritually because sin has separated us from God, and it's not just separated, it has created such a chasm that we can't close the gap anymore on our own. It's not possible for man to be reconciled to God just because man decides to. Something had to happen first. What had to happen first was God had to send His Son to die for us. We read about His eternal purpose. Paul writes, as Paul put it in the Scriptures, God had an eternal purpose. But we've all been there. We've all been in that sinful condition and lost at some point in our life. Romans 3 and 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And I mentioned Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we're in sin and we have not been reconciled through the blood of Jesus, folks, we are separate from any spiritual covenant. We are destitute of hope. Ephesians 2 and 12 says that at that time ye were without Christ. So Paul's telling those Ephesians who had obeyed the gospel, he says, but at that time, when he was talking about their walk in sin, he says, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now don't mistake that statement. He's not talking about the Jewish bloodline anymore. He's already made the connection that it's not about the Jewish bloodline anymore. It's about the Israel of God in the New Testament, which is the church. So he says, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a scary, scary place to be. I mean, it's worse than scary because if you think about it, if you're scared, you're scared of something that might happen. If you die in your sins, there's not a might to it. If you die in your sins, you will face a devil's hell. And you know, it's become very uncouth for preachers to say that anymore, to talk about hell. But hell is real. And if we don't help our brothers and sisters around the world and our neighbors in this area to understand that hell is real, the consequence is real, and there is no avoiding it outside of the body of Christ. The Bible's very clear about that. So we need to get to work making sure that our friends and neighbors and loved ones and everybody that we can understands that hell is real. And when you face Jesus at the judgment bar, if you are not in Him, there is no hope. And that's more than terrifying. And then the second heading that Brother Mike used was the person of hope, Jesus Christ. So we do have hope. But why do we have hope? Our hope originates not from anything in this world. It's not about having money. It's not about having power or influence. It's not about who's got the most friends. It's not about who can have the most fun. That's nothing to do with it. It's all about the fact that Jesus died to pay the debt of sin for us. He was our perfect sacrifice, as we talked about on Sunday. Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's the only reason that we can find hope. That's it. It's because of him. And then the provision of hope is the third heading that Brother Mike pointed out in his article, which is, of course, the gospel plan of salvation. Because there is great power in the gospel. I struggled for a long time trying to figure out how I could convince somebody to be a member of the church. But that all got simpler when I realized I couldn't convince anybody of anything. I don't have the power to do that. And once I realized the weapon that I needed to use for that was God's word and only his word, not my words, but his words, that burden became a lot lighter. Paul wrote to the Romans in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Can you find hope anywhere else? The gospel of Christ is the power unto, in the direction of, it takes us to salvation. There is nothing else that does that. The gospel is a powerful, powerful tool. And as you study, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. Paul told the church there, he says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity." These three, but the greatest of these is charity. I want you to think about these three, faith, hope, and charity. We've talked about faith all week long. We talked about charity a little bit this week as well. It's our love for others. Lord willing, we'll talk about it in great detail tomorrow night. And then hope. I want you to think about those three. A lot of you in here are old enough to remember what a three-legged milk stool is. So the few of you that don't, ask your mama or your grandmama what a three-legged milk stool is. But if you imagine that three-legged milk stool, faith, hope, and charity, They're so important that if you knock one of those legs out, the whole stool will fall. They are a triad. They are joined together on purpose. Paul did not mistakenly join these three together, faith, hope, and charity. Because if you don't have faith, you certainly don't have hope. And the odds are you don't have any love about you. Not real love. So you just start working down that list. You remove one, the other two are dependent on the third one, just like that three-legged milk stool. So you knock out one leg, they're all going to tumble. And then the fourth thing that Mike talked about, his fourth heading, was the proclamation of hope, the Christian's walk. It's the anchor in our actions. It operates like a spiritual stabilizer, that hope. It's amazing what the hope of salvation, because you are in Christ, can do for you personally. How you feel, how you treat others, how you act. It's amazing. It is truly transformative. Hebrews 6 and 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. In the world we live in, the political winds change almost daily, don't they? I mean, they're blowing one way or another way. If you think about how culture changes, I look at Lily sitting there and I think about what culture's like today, and when she's 60 like I'm about to be, or 112 like Timmy just turned, I'm just kidding, 65. When she gets to that age, how much will culture have changed? I can't imagine the changes that she'll get to see in her life. Just looking back on the changes that I've seen in my life. I mean, some of y'all are smiling because y'all wore bell bottoms back in the day. I mean, cultures have changed, styles change, things change. But our hope is based on something that doesn't change. It will never change. God said He hasn't changed ever, and He didn't give a beginning because He doesn't have a beginning. He hasn't changed ever. Do you realize that time doesn't even mean something to Him? He invented it, created it for us because we needed it. He doesn't. He exists in the past, right now. And He exists in the future, right now. And He exists right now, right now. Time, He is outside of time. So we need the anchor. We need that hope to anchor us when everything around us seems to be falling apart. When you turn on the news and you hear about mass shootings, or you hear about people just doing mean things. I mean, mean things. You know, 10 years ago, some of the things that are going on now and the things people say and get applauded for saying, I wouldn't have imagined somebody actually saying that in public. They wish bad things to happen to other people, and they're proud of saying it. So in that environment, aren't you glad that you've got something solid that has never changed and will never change to put your hope in? I thank God every night before I close my eyes for that hope, because I probably wouldn't sleep if it were not for that. It's a big deal. Well, I keep talking about these articles, and I can't encourage you enough to go and look these up and read these articles that are on the Harvester. Brother Albert Davis, his article is, in case you want to know how to find it, it's issue number 226. So when you go on, if you want to plug in that number, you can pull it up. You can search for hope also. I mean, it's real easy to search and find all kind of different topics. So I highly recommend spending some time on the Harvester webpage so that you can find these different ideas or whatever idea that you're curious about that you want to study on. But Brother Davis talked about this cohesiveness between faith, hope, and love or charity. He talked about that. And how that provides an expectation that's looking forward and not at our current situation. Brother Tim bridged how this works dynamically in that faith is the cornerstone that built strictly upon hearing God's word, Romans 10:17. When a believer acts on that faith through hearing the gospel steps, that is, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, that's when they're added to the church, and that's when they have hope. And then that hope directly produces patience to endure what we're dealing with on earth, in this life. And his article is issue number 271. Brother Mike's article that I've talked about a few times tonight is issue 273, and it's where I got the framework that we just talked about, those four headings that we talked in. And it frames that Christ is the exclusive remedy for a world that's dead in sin. Brother Ben talked about a vital corrective to modern prosperity or carefree theology, right? So the idea that you hear people say today, no fear, no fear, or just roll with it, everything will be all right. They don't understand consequences. They don't understand. So Ben talked about the fact that in that position, you can't have hope. A Christian is never promised a life that's void of tribulations or groanings. That's not what we're promised. So hope gives us the ability to ride through those storms. At this time, I would normally go through the gospel plan of salvation. But in one of those articles, I found something that I thought was really interesting. And I've just chosen to not just borrow, but I copied and pasted all the words, and I'm going to read it to you. And it's the title of this part is Invitation. Each time the church meets, an invitation is offered for those who have never obeyed the gospel to respond, and for those who have obeyed the gospel to examine their life for needed changes. However, week after week, month after month, and even year after year passes with not a single response. Are all of us that sure of our spiritual condition and that no change is needed? Let's hope and pray that that is the case. However, I fear that pride, procrastination, or false security may get in the way. My friends, we are not questioning if the warranty on our refrigerator is valid. We're talking about the destination of our soul for all of eternity should we die at this very minute. There will be only two possibilities, heaven or hell. If you have any question or doubt in your mind, please do something about it. Certainly the invitation at church services is an excellent time to respond to the gospel, although it's not the only time. Acts 2 and 47 states that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you decide to obey the gospel, you can, day or night, any day of the week. Satan will always try to convince you that now is not a convenient time. However, Paul baptized individuals at midnight, Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 33. Why did Paul baptize them at midnight? Because it was that urgent and important. Felix, after trembling at the thought of the judgment to come, desired to wait for a more convenient time. Yet we find no record in the Bible that he ever came, Acts 24 and 25. If you have a Bible question about your salvation, please do not continue to live in doubt and fear. A private study can be set up at your home, at the church, or wherever you would like. I may not have all the answers, but the Bible does have all the answers. If you prefer to talk to some other brother, please do so. I'm just concerned about your soul. In Christian love, Mark Carpenter. 266 County Road, 466 Woodland, Alabama, 36280. I told you I copied it directly out, word for word. Friends, that's a beautiful sentiment. Don't let pride or procrastination get in your way. If you're not in Christ, you know how to get in Christ. We've talked about it tonight. We've talked about it every night. If you're already a member of the church, but something has come between you and your Lord, don't let pride and procrastination get in the way of you making it right. It's simple. It's easy. And we've all been there. So if we can assist you tonight, and call and let us know how we can help you while we stand and while we sing.